Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what is unique about Holocaust education in the state of New Jersey? For more than 35 years, the charismatic rabbi, author, and teacher, Dr. Bernard Rosenberg, has been one of the pioneering voices for Holocaust and genocide education. Working in the Jewish and secular communities, he's been fighting for human rights, respectful Holocaust commemoration, and preventing genocide. Rabbi Rosenberg is the spiritual leader of Congregation Beth El in Edison, New Jersey. He received his ordination and doctorate of education from Yeshiva University in New York. Rabbi Rosenberg also possesses AA, BA, MA, and MS degrees in communication and education, and a Doctor of Divinity from the Jewish Theological Seminary in New York. Rabbi Rosenberg has taught public speaking at Rutgers University in New Jersey and Yeshiva University in New York, and also a graduate course in Holocaust at Rutgers University. He's also served on the New Jersey State Holocaust Commission as interfaith chairman. Dr. Rosenberg has received several awards for his work, including the Chaplain of the Year Award from the New York Board of Rabbis for his efforts during and following 9/11, and the Rabbi Israel Moshevitz Award, established by the New York Board of Rabbis to honor rabbis who excel in public service. He appears frequently on radio and television, has published numerous books and hundreds of articles regarding the Holocaust, and recently authored the Rosenberg Holocaust Siddur and the Rosenberg Holocaust Haggadah. We spoke with Rabbi Rosenberg about his work in Holocaust and genocide education, and also about his new book, Echoes of the Holocaust.
Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Rabbi Rosenberg.
My pleasure.
Could you tell us first about your own background?
My parents were Holocaust survivors. My father was in Auschwitz concentration camp, my mother in Skarzysko and Buchenwald. And except for cousins, we lost everyone in the Holocaust. I was born in a displaced persons camp in Germany right after the war.
And then I guess you emigrated to the States.
We came to the United States in 1950.
Uh-huh. You are the rabbi of Congregation Beth El in Edison, New Jersey, and also a Holocaust scholar. And
yes,
you've really spent decades studying the Holocaust and also working for Holocaust and genocide education. Can you tell us something about what you've done, first of all, about the research that you've done, the studies that you've done, and then also about your work in Holocaust education?
Yes, of course. I've been a member of the New Jersey State Holocaust Commission for 6 years, and then I was just renewed for another three. I was one of the founders of that commission. Teaching Holocaust in New Jersey is mandatory, and I was part of that. I've written many, many books on the Holocaust, and I taught Holocaust studies on the high school level and on the university level.
So have you been also instrumental in creating the educational materials for the public schools?
The curriculum, I'm the associate editor of the statewide curriculum for New Jersey.
Is this only mandatory in New Jersey? Is it also something that most of the states have, or you don't know?
Some of the states have it as mandatory. Most do not.
Because this is something that they've been working on also in Europe that I'm sure you're aware of.
Yes.
Do you do anything with any other organizations like the one in Europe that works for Holocaust education?
I'm not involved with the organizations in Europe, but I have traveled to Europe, to Poland, where my parents were from, and to Germany, where I was born. And one of my books was written by a rabbi in Berlin together with myself.
When you work with groups and when you lecture or when you give courses in Holocaust education, aside from what you mentioned, who is your public? Is it mostly students in schools?
I'm usually invited to speak to a student in schools, but I'm also invited to be a speaker for adults. I find that the young people are very, very interested in this because it's not only Holocaust, it's also discussing genocide, it's also discussing anti-Semitism, and it's also discussing what's happening in the world today.
Have any of the students in the high schools reacted to this in a way that they've taken any kind of initiatives? Have they done any projects along these lines?
Sure. Two of the books that I created in the early 2000s had to do with teenagers expressing their views on the Holocaust. In fact, parts of those books will be included in my new book, which is coming out, called Echoes of the Holocaust.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about Echoes of the Holocaust because we were at the radio contacted. Actually, we came into contact with you because we received an email from someone in Costa Rica asking for our help in asking listeners for contributions for your new book. Can you tell us about that? It was memoirs or histories or...
Right. Well, we have gotten many, many essays and poems, which is what I requested, from Holocaust survivors and from the second generation, which is my group, the children of Holocaust survivors, and the grandchildren of Holocaust survivors. And this book, which should be published in about 3 months or so, we're just finishing it now, has a tremendous amount of stories, again, from survivors, the feelings of the children of survivors, and the feeling of the grandchildren of survivors. By the way, I want to thank the gal who's really been helping me. Her name is Maria del Pilar Reyes Lopez, and she's the one who actually just translated the piece from Spanish, and she's the one who contacted you.
Yeah, from Costa Rica. Are these survivors from anywhere? Because I had the impression from that email that you were mostly interested in Sephardic survivors for this book.
Well, I just had one essay that the young lady who's working on this project with me translated from the Spanish into English, and then I edited the English. So we do have Sephardic participation. Very interested in letting people know, you know, what happened in the Sephardic community, because most people do not know. And in fact, in my earlier books, one called Theological and Halachic Reflections on the Holocaust, I have an entire chapter on Sephardic Jewry and what happened to them. What is important is to understand that I am working on keeping the memory of the Holocaust alive. I fear that 50 years after the last Holocaust survivor dies, Holocaust memory will be lost. I'm very concerned about that.
Do you really think so?
Yes. One of the things that I have created, and you can see it on the Internet, it's free, I have a site called Rosenberg Holocaust Haggadah. Haggadah is the book which is used on Passover, and it's called RosenbergHolocaustHaggadah.com. And on there, I have a prayer book as well as a Haggadah dedicated to the Holocaust. Unless we incorporate the Holocaust into Jewish ritual, I fear that the memory of the Holocaust will be gone. It doesn't matter if there's 1,000 museums. It doesn't matter if there's 1,000 interviews. It doesn't matter if there's 1,000 books. Eventually, the Holocaust deniers, and they're already doing it now, of course, are going to be saying it never happened. And they're doing it already.
What about the relationship to the other genocides? Because there have been quite a number of them since then, and there still are.
Yes. Well, there's a difference between the Holocaust and genocide. Genocide was a term that was coined, meaning the destruction of a group of people. The Holocaust is a term used solely for the destruction of the 6 million.
Yeah.
Shoah, which means the complete destruction.
Do you find that students, especially high school students, can relate better to the Holocaust if you relate it to present-day genocides?
Well, we have to. In the curriculum that we put out, that's always related to current-day genocides. Otherwise, it makes no sense. First of all, to tell somebody that 6 million people were murdered, no one can comprehend that. You can comprehend one person was murdered. You can comprehend 10 were. But to say 6 million is something one cannot comprehend.
That's true. That's very true.
So we try to make it personal, and that's why I write these books that have to do with essays and poems. You can understand the feeling of one person or one family, but to try to understand the feelings of 6 million is impossible.
Is there anything else that you can tell us about this that we haven't really spoken about?
Well, anti-Semitism is alive and well. In Europe, it has become extremely bad. And Jews are leaving certain countries almost en masse. And every single day you hear of anti-Semitism going on in Europe, and you hear about it going on here in America. Things have gotten worse. Have we learned anything from the Holocaust? I say no. We've learned absolutely nothing. Zero. Why? Because hatred is hatred, and people are going to continue to hate. If it's not the Jews, then it's someone else. But I don't think anything at all has changed.
There's a lot of anti-Semitism in the States?
There is anti-Semitism, but it's not the killing type. Even though one rabbi was murdered in Florida recently, and they still haven't caught that person. But, you know, there's a tremendous amount of swastikas and signs and different things on synagogues. My own synagogue had 3 swastikas put on it in the late 90s. Those people were never caught. There were 9 swastikas put out in my town here in Edison, New Jersey. They were never caught. And most of the time, we don't know whether kids do it or who does it, but most of the time, these people are not caught.
Where do you think the worst anti-Semitism is now in the world?
Well, you have big problems in Europe. You have problems in Germany. You have problems throughout Europe. And, you know, now what they're doing is they're combining the hatred of Muslims and the hatred of Jews. So on the one hand, you have neo-Nazis that are raising their heads who hate both groups. You have the extreme Muslims who are busy killing Muslims and Christians throughout the world. And it's a real mess.
How about, aside from Israel, which we can't really count in this, which country do you think has the least anti-Semitism? Or which area?
I don't know if you can even say that. In England, anti-Semitism has now become a major to-do. In Germany, of course. In France, of course. It's just very bad. A lot of it is coming from the Muslims. But again, I'm trying to be careful and not, you know, picture the Muslims as the people responsible for it, because they have their own problems. They're busy being, destroyed by the extreme Muslims.
You mentioned the Muslims in Europe, which is a large immigrant group. Do you think that the anti-Semitism is related to the whole problem that Europe is having with immigration from different countries, which is mostly economic immigration or immigration because of different wars? In other words, does it have anything to do you think, with this whole idea of we and them or the other?
No. Anti-Semitism is inbred in Europe. It's in the mother's milk, as they say. It's always been there. It's always going to be there. Nothing has changed. With regard to the hatred of the Muslims, this has to do with just not liking people who are different that are coming in. But the reasons why people, you know, they hate the Muslims, they hate the Jews, are different.
Well, and they hate the Africans, and they hate, you know.
Absolutely. Anyone who's different.
Yeah.
This is basically Hitler revisited. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're dealing with with the extreme Muslim population that are just busy killing everybody but themselves. It's horrible.
Where do you see this going in the next few years?
Well, this really is Nazism reinvented, you know. These are the new Nazis. And, you know, I keep asking when I attend Muslim functions that the Muslim community speak out more than they are. But again, they have their own problems dealing with the extreme Muslims. Where do I think this is going? If we don't annihilate the extreme Muslims, and I use the word annihilate, murder them, kill them, call out whatever you wish, they have to be destroyed. If we don't do that, we're going to have big, big problems. This is World War III. We are in World War III.
All right, but you're saying that anti-Semitism is everywhere, and it doesn't just come from the Muslims. Aside from the extreme Muslims who seem to want to annihilate anybody who isn't exactly like them.
You have the neo-Nazis.
Uh-huh.
You have the skinheads. You have the white supremacists. There's many groups.
And you don't see this situation improving? Do you only see it getting worse then?
I don't see any improvement until ISIS and that whole group is annihilated. I just don't see any improvement. As far as here in America, you know, we have all sorts of groups talking to each other. We have Jewish groups talking to Muslim groups. And, you know, we have wonderful relationships with the church and with the Christian community. That is going on. And hopefully will continue to go on.
Now that you are really finishing this project that we were originally contacted about, what are you working on now, or what is your next project?
Probably something dealing more with the reflections of the third and fourth generation. In this book, I do have material dealing with the grandchildren, and I'm looking for material from grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
Do most of them have material? Because I know there were a lot of people who didn't even want to talk about it.
That's right. Most Holocaust survivors still don't want to talk about the Holocaust. Nothing has changed on that.
So it must be very hard to get material.
No, it's hard to get material because most people don't want to send it in. But you have in the Holocaust museums, especially in Yad Vashem and the one in Washington, you have so many testimonies. You know, that people have come forth and told their stories. But many people, you know, still don't want to talk about it. And don't forget, most of the Holocaust survivors are dead. Those who survived, they're dead. And they're dying every single day. There's not that many left. So that's what we're facing.
Do you do anything at all with the problems, the psychological problems that children and grandchildren of Holocaust survivors have?
I am one of the major individuals that people literally contact from around the world when they've basically given up on psychiatrists and everyone else. I've run many groups dealing with second generation baggage, et cetera, survivor's guilt, you know, all that. So, yes, I'm deeply involved with it. Mm-hmm. And there is a tremendous amount of baggage among survivor's children.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
Well, what I'd like to basically share is thank you, number one, for having me on. And I ask from people around the world to unite and understand that we need to create peace, shalom, in this world. And we're not going to do it by allowing ISIS and that group to do what they're doing to Christians and to Jews and to Muslims. So we need to send a very strong message to the president, to the Congress. You know, we need to have a plan to annihilate these people.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Rabbi Rosenberg would welcome more personal Holocaust memoirs and stories from the Sephardic community. So if any of you would like to contribute to his work, you can contact him at the email address on this page. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSephirah.com. See you next week.